There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Aha!
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button, of course. If you're not already subscribed, you'll get three new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones. You can grab us anywhere you get podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do consider giving the series a rating and a review as well. Some great guests have been on lately, including Nikki, who was just here, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, Paul Feig. He's directed Jackpot, that's currently playing on Prime, starring John Cena and Awkwafina. We talked with Randy Blythe of Lamb of God, David Duchovny, Weird Al Yankovic, Samantha Morton, starring in The Serpent Queen on Stars, the cast of Women in Blue on Apple TV+, Adam Duritz of The Counting Crows, Reggie Watts, Ryan Tedder of One Republic, Derek Whibley of Sum 41, Victoria Justice, Minnie Driver, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actor Jacob Bertram. We're going to be talking about the sixth and final season of Cobra Kai, out now on Netflix. Well, part one's out now on Netflix. There is three parts to the final season. So we're going to talk about his character Hawk's redemption arc over the entire series, his attachment to that trademark mohawk, and the anxiety and opportunity of moving ahead now that the show is wrapped. In fact, Jacob tells us that he's got his eye on directing and is currently making a monster-based short film. We'll also hear which Deftones and Led Zeppelin songs would be his character's theme songs, and his thoughts on the upcoming Karate Kid movie that's supposedly not being set in the same universe as the show somehow. All that and more, we're talking season 6 of Cobra Kai, out now on Netflix. It's Kyle Meredith with Jacob Bertram.
What's up? How you doing?
It's been fun keeping up with you over the years, and especially with this first part of 3 of the final season. And I think you're on one of the longest goodbye publicity tours that I can remember.
Yeah, they're definitely stretching it out, especially with like the three part thing, you know, having a, you know, part one of a big premiere, part two, I don't know what they're gonna do. I imagine part three would also have some sort of crazy, crazy long premiere type thing.
I think so many interviewers, hosts have asked, it's like, what's it like saying goodbye? And it's like, you don't really, as you've mentioned, like, you don't really have to yet because you just keep putting back in it.
Yeah, it's like we started the high school graduation, but we still have like the senior Disney day. We still got to walk for graduate. Like we're saying goodbye, but it's like we just finished signing the yearbooks, is what it feels like.
And by the time that part three comes out, you'll be close to like the 10th anniversary or something like that of the first seasons.
It'll be our 8th year anniversary by the time the part three is out. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll get just enough of a vacation for then for that to roll around. That's what it's.
Exactly. We have like 4 months to hang out, do something else, and it's like, oh, back to Provost for the same show.
Oh man, it has been cool. And seriously, congrats on a hell of a run with this whole thing that you guys have been through. And I guess what your characters, the been able to go through, Hawk, getting that redemption arc season or two back. I was thinking about that, like, if you stick around, it seems like if you stick around long enough in this series, you get to see both sides of the coin, right? You get to play a little
Yeah.
bit of bad, you get to play a little bit of good. What would have happened? I mean, would you have felt bad if you hadn't made it? Like, all right, you're done with season three. You're always gonna be the asshole.
You know, I would have been sad because, you know, getting to win the All Valley in season four and have that redemption arc was really cool. I did love playing the asshole. I loved being the villain, sort of the kid villain of the show. And I do miss that. But yeah, it definitely would have been a bummer to just end on season three with a semi big cliffhanger. And yeah, just kind of been known to be like, man, that guy sucked. He came around at the end, but he sucks for the whole time. You know, that would have been a little bit of a bummer.
Did you know that you'd eventually get there? That your character would?
I knew it because of how season three ended, where I sort of go to the good side right at the very end. When season four started, I wasn't sure how that was gonna pick up, if people are gonna be, you know, cool with me, like, oh yeah, we came back to the good side, or they're gonna be like, no, this guy sucks. He murdered a lot of our friends, like he broke a lot of arms. We still hate you. You know, and it landed somewhere in the middle, which I think is a good spot on the good spot to be, you know, for the writers. They came up with a good little way to make all that work.
There was so much rage in him. Like you were just like a fist. And no pun intended. He was like, you
Slightly
were just
bald fist.
sort of like a fist. I don't know. Like when you got to turn around, and especially going into four, five, and six here, like, is there a noticeable levity in how you play the, I mean, there's the obvious how you play the character, but even like internally, inside you.
Yeah. I think those, you know, when I first broke the role, I only knew about Eli. I had no idea that there was a Hawk. And it wasn't until I got on set and they started telling me about this stuff that, you know, Eli has this huge transformation. He turns into Hawk. And how they were describing it to me is like you pushed in so much and compressed this guy so much. And finally, he's able to break out and be free. And all of the anger, love, happiness, everything he was always pushing down is finally breaking out. And he is brought into this position of power now that he has this mohawk. And that's how I think the first three seasons, that's what Hawk feels like, is just newfound rage, newfound happiness, newfound everything. And once he gets a handle on it more towards season four, instead of almost being like a chihuahua that is just chomping at everything, trying to be a part of everything, he's now an older, relaxed chihuahua that is still has a lot of energy, but only gets up when he absolutely has to. It's a little bit
If
of a breath sigh of relief, I guess.
yeah, I remember watching over the course of that and thinking like, it's TV, we suspend our belief or whatever.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
I was like, because who does that? And then I was trying to think back, like in school, I was like, actually, wait, I sort of remember those guys that would just be so, and then one day, like one of them came in a suit with a smile on his face. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I'm going to work for a bank part time. I'm like, well, how does that work? You know, that's like, but I guess it does. It's like, you can do that.
Yeah. I think everyone has moments in their lives that are super humbling. And specifically for Hawk, when he's this young pup kid, wide-eyed, just taking as much as he can. You know, you lose people, you lose friendships. You realize that maybe the path that you're going down isn't necessarily what you want. And I think that totally happened for Hawk. He got his head shaved against his will. He got trapped by a bunch of people. He got attacked, if you will. And I don't know. I think he came out on the other side of that attack a much, much better man.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jacob Bertrand. That head shaving scene, that's one of the more memorable moments, I think, in all of that.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
But for a minute there, I don't know. I don't know if you mind, though, having the Hawk or whatever, but it's at least a bit of an excuse not to for a second.
Yeah, right? You know what's funny is when I first got on the show, I didn't know about Hawk. I didn't know I had to get a mohawk. And, you know, I loved my just normal white guy coif haircut, and I was very proud of it. And when I was told I had to get a mohawk, I just remember thinking, oh, man, I love my hair. I don't want to dye my hair a color. That sounds horrible. And my dad pulled me aside and said, Jacob, I would die to be able to wear a mohawk at my job. That would be amazing. You have to do this. You have to. And I was like, okay. And in season 4, when they then sat me down and said, we're going to buzz your mohawk, I was so defensive. I said, absolutely not. That is who I am. That is my haircut. That is half of my personality is this mohawk. You will not be taking Hawk's mohawk away from him. So it is funny to me just thinking about 17-year-old Jacob not wanting to get a mohawk. And then, you know, what is it? 21-year-old Jacob saying, I will die before this mohawk comes off, you know?
But then, I mean, you know, you've got to be careful about that too, because you look at, like, I'm thinking of, like, the lead singer of Twisted Sister from the 80s.
Okay,
Who got so iconic for his hair that even now, you know, he's in his, at least his 60s, maybe even, you know, in his early 70s. Like, he still wears the wig every night. Or Kiss, who has to go out in the makeup. Like you have to be a little bit careful that suddenly, like, you don't have to be the Hawk. You don't have to have
that. Yes. 100%. I think I'm lucky in the way that Hawk's character is so far-fetched that there's this kid who gets a mohawk and just starts beating the shit out of everyone. You do really have to suspend your disbelief for it. I don't know. Hawk definitely is a part of the symbolism for Cobra Kai. I mean, just the silhouette alone has become, in my mind, just a cool, iconic part of Cobra Kai. But I don't know, it's separate enough from me that I don't feel that Hawk is too attached to me personally. But I mean, hey, who knows? There could be 2 years from now, they're bringing us back for a spinoff. I'm like, well, I guess I'm wearing a Hawk again, you know?
Now that, you're in that interesting spot, right? You've just done 6 seasons, and now you're being sent out into the wild.
Back into the world, yeah.
Back into the world. Like, I have Maya Hawk's on here quite a bit. And we, of course, we're talking about the end of Stranger. You know, she's going through the same thing, and she's talking about that excitement and that anxiety at the same time, you know, that you kind of hold. Like, what is this feeling? Like, I know there's the, how do you feel about it wrapping up? But more so, like, what's this feeling about who you get to be now?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. They're definitely, I think for any actor, regardless of how long the show has gone on for, 10,000% you have that. This could be it. You know, I had a good run. You know, I did X amount of episodes or seasons or movies or whatever. And my dad is totally on the train of, you know, you got to have positive thinking. You got to ice bath and sauna and, you know, take care of yourself. And, you know, he's one of those guys. And so I definitely try to have a positive spin on it and, you know, just work as hard as I can, do the right prep for when I get auditions. I've been getting into directing, you know, trying to direct a short film this fall, writing with Sholo and Gianni. So there's one side of it where you do get anxious and you don't know if you're ever going to work again because everyone in the industry hates you. But I have to remind myself, hey, you know what? I've booked a couple roles. I have to believe that I am a good actor. I have something to offer. I love Denzel Washington so much. And he has a quote, I'm pretty sure it's him, where he says, if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you're going to get your haircut. I think that's super true for this industry. You know, Billy auditioned for The Outsiders. You know, he didn't get The Outsiders. And he gets, you know, but he did Karate Kid. And there's certain things like that, you know, that, you know, hey, maybe you don't work for a year or two, 5 years, but you just have to trust that, hey, you're creative. That's just kind of how this business works. And, you know, whether you book something next year, you book something years after, it's, I don't know. It is hard though. It is a big test of almost your faith in a way, and your faith in that you do things. I don't know. There is a lot of anxiety that comes with it though, for sure.
So what does that mean for you then? I mean, you've mentioned three things: that you've booked some things, you want to direct, and you're directing and writing.
Yeah.
Like that is, I mean, for anybody in this industry, you have to have that mindset, I think, if you want to stick around. Like you sort of have to be able to tackle everything if you need to.
Yeah.
Like, are there any of those that you've sort of got your eye on a little bit more than the other, that you've fallen in love with a little bit more?
I think as of right now, directing, I really like the workflow of directing and the almost the lifestyle that it brings, and the, it's gonna sound lame, but the control, I guess, you have over a narrative. And I've only done things where I've acted and directed, and I would like to switch into or try something where I'm just directing and not acting in. Yeah, I think I try to pile on things in my plate if I'm not working right at the moment, because I start to go crazy. I'm pretty bad at sitting still. Like going on vacation or with my family, I have to tell myself, okay, vacationing is my job right now. I have to, like, I need to have a schedule. Like, I want to go surfing in the morning and then do this and then do that. Cause just sitting, relaxing, I'm like,
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I went to, my wife and I went to Mexico in February. Okay. She had to talk me into going to Mexico. She had to talk me in to going to the beach in Mexico, to Tulum.
Yeah. You know?
And I made a deal with her that if I get to work at least an hour and a half every day, then I'm hers for the rest of it. Like,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, I imagine for you too, you have like a pretty regimented schedule. You're releasing episodes out constantly. You're like, hey, I need to do something, you know?
I was on the beach listening to the Black Crows to get ready for an interview. It was, you know, it's a weird, yeah. I get it though. Like, I feel you. I need that sort of thing happening. Like, they're just sitting around. I'm not good at it.
Dude,
just...
the Black Crows. I love the Black Crows. That's sick.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jacob Bertrand. Can you say anything about the short film, or are you kind of keeping that still under wrap?
I'm keeping it under wraps for
you
now.
Just made that decision just now, didn't you?
Yeah. I haven't talked about it too much. I'm in pre-production right now. I'm trying to film it in my hometown of Claremont. So it's at some of the colleges here. So it's, you know, college short film, little alien monster short film. You never see the monster for creative and budgetary reasons.
Smart choice. Right?
Smart. Yeah, for sure. It should be fun. It's not crazy long. It's maybe like 10-15 minutes. I'm just trying to make it with some friends. Yeah, that's the that's all I'll say for now.
Yeah, no, I got you. Now for
I'll let you know. I'll let you know once it comes out. I'll shoot it to you, and I'll give me your notes.
I'm sure you don't need notes, but I would love to see it.
Yeah, I want you to give a pass of notes on it.
That's what you need. More notes from just anybody.
Anyone and everyone. Exactly. That's what I want. Come on.
Do you think of this though? Like I have like the friends who like do short films, like some of them, especially when they're switching to director like this, like they have it in mind, like I want to do a short film to use as a calling card to get more like directing gigs or stuff like that.
Oh
like,
yeah. 100%.
Because I also have the ones that just like, I just did it because I've never done it, you know?
Yeah. That's, I mean, dude, both of those are super valid. I definitely want to sort of start pursuing a career in directing, but I have this maybe stubborn way of doing it where I don't want my acting career to influence it at all. Like I want to direct because I'm a good director. Not, and you know what? You know, I think there's totally a world where you direct something, you're like, you know what? That was kind of shit. But I learned from mistakes and I'm going to tackle it again. And, you know, I've always wanted to do stand up, but I've never had the balls to truly do it. All of my friends who are comics, they just have this thing where, like, you know, the first time you do it, fucking suck, you know, and that's just a part of the game. And I think in anything that's sort of similar, especially with these creative arts type things, you kind of have to suck before you rock.
You got to be obsessed a little bit, like whatever it is. Like, I think a lot of us, like, we're here because we're just kind of obsessed with it, you know?
Yeah, 100%. You have a weird thing in your brain you can't turn off, something that keeps talking. It's like, dude, do that. You should, like, that would be fun to do, you know? And I've been having that. I was on a Disney show called Kirby Buckets, and when I was 13, 14, I would run around with this little notebook just bugging all the directors of the week and our DP, who Matthew Rudenberg, who's this, you know, very brainy, talented DP. And I was just this little kid on his shoulder to be like, why is the white balance right there? Why are you using 85 right here? Like, you know, just asking him all these questions and, you know, try to learn about cameras without actually having to read anything. I just wanted him to share all of his secrets. And I've always been super interested in that, and in the technical aspect and the creative directing aspect. So yeah, we'll see. I've directed one short before that was super fun. I'm just sort of recycling old ideas that I've had since high school and just trying to make them into shorts to, you know, pitch for other features. For everybody's got grand plans, everybody's got goals. You know, I'm sort of working up the balls to start, you know, really going after mine, I guess.
That's awesome. But now you've got that opportunity, you know.
And I'm trying. Yeah, I'm trying to do it.
And in the meantime, you know, as we were saying, you know, like, we've still got two more of these for us. Like, you know how this ends.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the screeners yet on 2 and 3 yet. So
yeah, they're not done yet. If that makes you feel any better. I just did ADR for like 9 and 10, like 2 days ago. So.
Oh, wow. So that's not even actually wrap. It's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we filmed everything, but they're still in post for all that stuff. Billy's trying to lock the music for his episode right now. He has awesome music for his episode that they're trying to nail down, that I hope they get the budget for.
I was actually, what I was, I wrote some of them, I always write them down, because that first part had REO Speedwagon Roll with the Changes, which was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah
Headhunter, Stay Young at Heart. I didn't expect that one. They did so well at playing on this, you know, because we also get the flashbacks and everything, and when the music plays into it at the same time.
Yeah. Like, yeah,
it's really, yeah,
it's fun. I mean, you gotta love the 80s, you know. They do a great job of picking good 80s soundtrack stuff.
Do you ever consider a theme song for Hawk?
Oh man, I think when Hawk was in his evil stage, I listened to a lot of Deftones. Shove It specifically, I think,
one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I mean, the Deftones rock, you know. I think now. Now, before I go on to set, a lot of times I listen to Fool in the Rain by Led Zeppelin. It's just super groovy and puts you in a good mood.
Very different mood to say, yeah.
Yeah, very, very different mood. That's sort of what I'd say is the change that Hawk made, was, you know, going from Deftones, Shove It, to Fool in the Rain. That's sort of the arc that I see for him.
From Zeppelin. I was, yeah. I know there's this other weird thing out there, because the movie that's happening separate of you all, that doesn't seem to be, as they say, in the universe, which I'm gonna say, it kind of sucks. Because you all have done all so many flashbacks to the older movies, tying them in. It's like, suddenly, yeah, you're nuts. Like, that's bullshit.
it's weird. Yeah, you know what's funny is I never know who decides what's in the universe too. Like, I don't know who said it's not in the universe, but it's known that, like, it's a separate universe, which, you know how much people love the Marvel multiverse shit. So I can only imagine. I don't know. I think, you know, I talked to Ralph, Mr. Macchio, when the movie wrapped, and he said he had a blast on it. And, you know, even for me personally, I think even if I wasn't a part of Cobra Kai, I definitely would be a fan of it. This is totally a show I would watch in my own time. And I love Jackie Chan so much. And I think other Cobra Kai fans either know of Jackie Chan or love that Jackie Chan Karate Kid movie. I don't know. I think it's going to be great. It is so weird. It does take away from it a little bit that they're not in the exact same universe. But you know what? Who cares? The movie could just come out and be like, we're inserting ourselves into the universe. This is canon, you know? So they got Daniel LaRusso in it,
Yeah,
clearly,
that's what I'm
Arlen.
saying. I mean, somebody can just tie it some way. You know, there's a there'll be a thread, there'll be a board with the red string and everything, and this is how
I
it all
mean,
works.
who knows? You totally could see Hawk walking around in the background in New
See, that's all I
York.
need. That's it. That's it.
And
That's
that's it.
it.
That's
Then
all you
that's
would need. That's all you would need to tie it together, you know?
It's sort of like Friends, Mad About You, and Seinfeld are in the same universe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's you know, the Cheers bar is somewhere close to the Seinfeld apartment. You know what
Well,
I
they had all
mean?
the they had all the like they would have like that. They would have a character sort of walk in the beginning of an episode, and then that's it. That's it. Like that's really all you have to do.
Yes.
Don't mess with us.
I mean, hey, I'm not saying I don't have a cameo, but I'm also not saying that I do have a cameo. We'll see. The universes could be tied, who knows?
We'll see.
No, I have no, I genuinely have no idea. I don't want to get people's hopes up.
I'm looking forward to seeing these other two parts of this final season. I'm really looking forward to screening the short film that you've got coming up as well. I'm just putting it on my calendar here to
All
check back in
right. Yeah,
momentarily.
you gotta hit me. I gotta get your number or your Instagram or something so I can send it to you. I'm waiting for your round of notes, man. I'm telling you.
I know you are. Man, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about all this, and congrats again.
Yeah, dude, thank you so much. I had a fun time. This is awesome.
And my thanks to Jacob. The final season, Cobra Kai, you can see it on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get three new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. Grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. In fact, you get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Mojo Nixon, Wire, Underground System, The Lightning Seeds, Ultravox, Pet Shop Boys, The Go-Go's, Neverland, Leve, The White Stripes, Pixies, The Japanese House, Rolling Stones, Valerie June, The Prodigy, Biba Doobie, Vampire Weekend, and my interview with Anthony Michael Hall. We talked about his era in the Brat Pack and his latest movies as well. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Cool to know you're a Black Crowes fan.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.